You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today's guest is Jerry Lazarus. Jerry Lazarus is a spiritual counselor, speaker, and author. He is the dream columnist for Venture Inward magazine, which is delivered quarterly to ARE members. He will be presenting at the annual headquarters Easter conference, Robert Moss's Dawn of Awakening, Tapping into the Power of Dreams, Coincidence, and Imagination, in Virginia Beach from April 2nd to 4th. He will also be presenting A New Heaven and a New Earth in Newark, New Jersey on April 17th. In the past 2 decades, Jerry has given numerous lectures and workshops on religion, spirituality, meditation, dreams, healing, astrology, and other topics. He has a master's degree in religion and meditation. He is currently writing a book on dreams, due out spring 2010, titled Dreams, Listening to the Voice of God. You can visit his website at www.jerrylazarus.com. That's JerryLazarus.com. How did you get introduced to the Cayce readings?
Well, Art, it's a story that goes back to India, my native country. When I was raised a Catholic, and though it's a minority in India, in South India specifically, I was part of that minority. I really enjoyed going to the church, and I was active in the church, so was my family. But during my teenage years, I realized that I needed to search more, you know, that welled up in my mind. So I, you know, the practices of yoga and Hinduism and Buddhism, as you know, is prevalent in India since it's the birth country of those two religions. So I decided that I would like to explore that more, and I started out by reading some books about Hinduism and Buddhism, and I liked what I read, and I felt that those religions filled in some gaps that I could fill in with my, though limited, understanding of Christianity at that point. But still I was searching because, you know, I read, for example, the theory of karma and reincarnation made sense to me, but still studying Hinduism and Buddhism, they were just theories. I could not relate to them in a contemporary setting. It made sense from a reasoning perspective, but I couldn't relate on a day-to-day living in today's world. So I started going to this yoga center. It's actually, he was an Ayurvedic physician who ran that place. And he used to give talks on yoga every Sunday. And I would go to those talks. And soon I started practicing Hatha Yoga, Pranayama, which is the breathing exercises, incantations, chanting, those sorts of things. And I liked it. I thought this was really a nice compliment to my Christian living. And my family was open to it. They never said that I shouldn't do it. Actually, they encouraged me. They thought it was great that I was exploring all those things. But it was not until I started going to a library, a private library, that was run by this retired professor of this language called Bengali. And she had started this small collection of books, specialized books. And part of her collection was some impressive collection of metaphysical books. And I started reading some of those books. Among them was one book titled Many Mansions by Gina Serminara, a psychologist who actually took some of the Cayce readings and wrote this book. The book was specifically on karma and reincarnation. So once I started reading the book, and the minute I started reading the book, I got hooked on it. I said, now this I can make sense. Then I was fascinated by who this Edgar Cayce was, because he was now talking in terms of people's lives as they're unfolding right now. It made sense. And it also had a Christian bend to it that I said, oh, well, this within the Christian context, this also makes sense. So Unfortunately, though, that was the only Casey book I could find in those days. Now we are going back to, 25 years.
Ah.
So that was the only Casey book available, at least I could find in those days. And that was my beginning and ending of Casey search in India. And it is not until I came to the United States in my, and I was in my 20s at the time, and it was late 20s, that I started getting more into the Casey books and Casey readings. And that's how, I really got into the Casey work.
What do you find interesting and helpful about the Casey readings?
There are so many things I find interesting. Just to name a few, as I mentioned, karma and reincarnation itself filled a huge gap that I didn't find in Christianity. And to see these stories, how they unfold, and one story in particular that I remember that I read in one of these books is the story of this woman who had so many health problems and from her childhood on, and she ended up on a wheelchair and so many difficulties. She came for a physical reading to Casey and got some treatments for it, and she found some relief. But she also came back and asked Casey why she was in such a condition. And Casey told her that her lifetime, she had a lifetime in ancient Rome, her hobby at that time was to go to the Colosseum and watch man and beast fight. And here's the key, he said. He said that, and you took joy, pleasure in that sport. And the lesson for her was that you do not take joy in the suffering of your fellow man. But he then used the scriptural passage, biblical passage, that you are your brother's keeper. And that is the lesson that soul needed to learn. And that's where the soul misapplied that lesson. And now there was a karmic consequence this lifetime for her, that what she enjoyed in others, now she was paying that same price, that her body was going through that similar suffering, and to know what it is like for others. And that was the lesson. And Casey said, if you caught that vision, learned that lesson, then you would have fulfilled that that criteria and would overcome your suffering. So I found that was a very practical application of scriptures and scriptural passages that I did not know before. And I began to see the scriptural passages in a completely new and enlightening way. And I also began to understand the reason for certain types of suffering and how it may be karmically tied, and the differences among individuals, why some people are suffering and why some are not. So that was one thing I got out of it. But the other thing I got out of it was this concept of ideal that Casey talked about. That is the most important topic in the Casey readings. And Casey said that, for any soul, the most important thing is to know its spiritual ideal spiritually. So I began to learn more and more about the ideal, and the ideal is nothing but the teachings of Christ. He emphasized the Christ ideal, the teachings of Christ, and being anchored in it, and to live that ideal in every phase of our lives. And that is what, when Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, the key was in the ideal. So no matter what aspect Casey talked about, whether it was a business, whether it was a relationship or a karmic pattern, it always came down to the ideal. And I would say that is the single most important thing that I got out of the Casey readings, and it has transformed my life. But it was also art, mm-hmm. how Casey talked about ideal in relation to meditation, ideal in relation to dreams, ideal in relation to all aspects of your life. For example, in meditation, you are giving power to the ideal. So here we go. The foundation is in the ideal. And in dreams are advancing you in ideal. So it's so important to know what the ideal is. And for that matter, what Casey did was he read the Bible once every year through the entire Bible. And that is where he found his foundation was in the ideal. And that is, so these things I found fascinating. And the other whole aspect of it is that, you know, people say that Casey was really a Christian and he saw everything from a Christian perspective. It is true. Casey was a Christian. And there was a Christ-centeredness throughout the readings we see. However, he started talking about concepts such as karma, using the word karma, which is a Sanskrit word for action, the reincarnation karma aspect.
We'll be right back with more with Jerry Lazarus on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Jerry Lazarus.
He also talked about a concept called Kundalini, or how it is called in the West, Kundalini. The Kundalini is a Sanskrit word that Casey used when he talked about meditation and how this force called Kundalini is within each individual and how it can be raised in meditation. This is what the yogis have been saying for centuries. I was fascinated to see how Casey was able to say all these things within the Christian context and make sense.
You have a presentation at the ARE that's coming up, actually April 2nd.
That is correct, the Easter Conference.
And will you be expanding more on this there?
I will be talking on two specific topics. On the 3rd, I will be speaking, April 3rd, that is, I will be speaking about dreams. Mm-hmm. And it's about a 3-hour talk. Why dreams are important, the wisdom of dreams from the Casey perspective.
Ah.
And I will go into some depth about dreams and dream interpretation. I'm starting with my own journey in dream work. And just to give you a little overview of what I'll be touching on is that I started my dream journey in my late 20s when I was reading some of the Casey material. I found that dreams were important to study to reclaim our spiritual consciousness, that dreams are a way in and through which God communicates with us. And Casey actually interpreted 1,500 dreams for 69 people for over a period of 20 years. It's a large collection of dream work. And Casey himself studied his dreams, his readings, told him to do so.
It's a strange coincidence. My preacher this weekend, actually, it was a guest preacher. He was preaching on how God communicates to people through visions and dreams.
Yes.
And he was giving examples from the Old Testament. And I'd never heard that sermon before. And it's interesting that he talked about that this weekend. And then I'm talking to you about this.
That's interesting. Maybe, you know, sometimes we hear these messages that we need to hear.
Oh, yes. He was talking about how there are examples from the Old Testament where God spoke in a vision. And that was God speaking. And I guess some people might want to ignore their dreams, but sometimes we receive visions through ways that we may not expect.
Exactly. And I have found this to be so true in studying dreams for 20 years that it is one of the single, other than meditation itself, dreams would make it complete. Casey said that those who do not study their dreams stand to lose much. And it's true. Once I started studying dreams, I thought, my gosh, I'm glad I started at least now, that there's so much. Even what the work that I'm doing now is partly because of how dreams showed me to get into it as a speaker, as a writer. And I was none of those before that. So because dreams come to empower us. So my dream journey started some 20 years ago, and it was triggered by reading Casey's work on dreams. And I had not dwelled deeper into it. I just read some in this reading saying that it's important to study your dreams. And I saw a couple of dreams and I was fascinated. So then I looked at contemporary dream theories and started studying some of the dream theories out there. In fact, starting out with Freud and Carl Jung and many others. Including recent research on dreams done in labs Dream Labs. But what I found, was that everybody had something to offer, mm-hmm. but not a full scope of dream work. And in fact, I was even more confused about my dreams after studying these materials. I'm sure I had a little bit of insight here or there, but mostly I did not know how dreams worked. You know, there's a wonderful story that Buddha once said there was this king of Benares. To amuse himself, he asked that some blind people be brought to his kingdom who had never heard or seen elephants. So he also requested that an elephant be brought. So then he told the blind men one by one to describe the elephant. So the first man went, touched the leg of the elephant, came back and said that the elephant is like a pillar. The second man went and he gets hold of the tail, feels the tail, and comes back and said that elephant is like a snake. And the third person goes and touches the ear and comes back and says that elephant is like a banana leaf. And the Buddha said that individually they had grasped some truth. They were not wrong. They were right. But none had the full description or the correct description of the elephant.
Interesting.
He said only a Buddha can see the entire truth. So the Buddha means the awakened one. The awakened one can see the entire truth than like some people who can only see, the rest of us, I would say, who can see some aspect of the truth. And this was true in Casey's case, because here's what Casey was able to do. Casey was able to interpret anyone's dreams with swiftness, sureness, and accuracy. If today, if we ask somebody for dream interpretation, including myself, I would need to know the background of the individual. Mm-hmm. I would also say this dream could be symbolic or literal, and this is what it might mean. There is no such thing. Casey was able to key into the soul, any aspect of the soul, and say, this is about your diet, this is about your relationship, whatever exactly the dream was showing. There was no question about that in his mind. He was able to also recall parts of dreams forgotten by dreamers. He would say, there's more to the dream that you do not recall. This is what the rest of the dream. He would recall entire dreams forgotten by dreamers. He would also, looking through the dreams, see into the psyche of the individual and pinpoint what is going on in that dreamer's life and what inside the dream is giving to help the dreamer to solve a problem, to fix the diet, to mend the relationship, to advance the career of the individual, as long as the ideal is lived. Dreams were helping a dreamer grow in every aspect of the dreamer's being.
Wow.
And because Casey said that our destiny is to become companions and co-creators with God. And if we are to be companions and co-creators with God, we need to grow in every respect and we need to be full and complete individuals. Dreams fulfill that function of helping us to be full and complete individuals, because every aspect of the dreamer is reflected in the dream.
Hmm.
So now we see that Casey was an awakened one, relating to the Buddha story, that he was able to see every aspect of the dreamer. And thus, I found his dream work to be a complete system in itself. And then that is why my own personal a journey with the dream work was that, and I started applying this in my life, and I found it to be true that I didn't need to look elsewhere. The only place I looked was in the Bible, because I wondered why, who else had such skills? Could it just be Casey? And I found that Joseph and Daniel of the Old Testament had the same skills that Casey had. It's as though Casey walked right out of the Bible. And they were also able to do the same things that Casey was able to do. So this was the gift of the Spirit. that Casey had. But luckily, Casey said that we all can interpret our dreams. We may not be able to interpret other people's dreams. We will be in time if we study our own and gain some measure of it. I do that in my counseling sessions with many of my clients to work with dreams. Mm-hmm. But we, each individual, can interpret his or her own dreams. And at the workshop, I will be talking about what does it take to interpret our own dreams, and because my goal is to empower each individual to do that, that promise that Casey made that every individual can, with a spiritual foundation, can interpret his or her own dreams.
Wow. Can you share some dream examples from the Casey readings and your own personal life?
I certainly can. There is a dream that Casey himself had. It's a very interesting imagery. The imagery that, you know, people often start, when they start telling me their dreams, they tell me, oh, I had this weird dream. And I say, don't we all?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what we say when we wake up from many, many, many dreams, that was weird. And Casey said that's how dreams unfold. That we need to figure out what that message or imagery is showing us. And in this particular dream that Casey had, he saw that there was a pig in the dream. A watermelon was eating a pig. That was the imagery.
Hmm.
And a reading was taken on it, said that the imagery of a watermelon eating a pig is actually flawed imagery. Yeah, a pig should be eating the watermelon. The imagery itself was showing Casey that his own thinking on a specific waking state concern was just as flawed as the imagery itself. That he needed to change his flawed thinking. So now we begin to see why we have imageries like this in dreams. Now in the reading state, Casey said that there is more to the dream that the waking state Casey did not recall, and here's the rest of the dream. The rest of the dream was that the second part of the dream, Casey finds himself in this house, and he is standing inside the house, but the floor was rotten and it was caving in. The meaning of that part is that the dream was showing Casey that if he tries to build on flawed thinking, the foundation is wrong. You cannot build on a flawed foundation. So now it is calling the dreamer's attention to change that thinking so that now you can build the correct foundation and build upon it. So this is a mental psychological aspect of dreaming.
We'll be right back with more with Jerry Lazarus on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. Let's continue our conversation with Jerry Lazarus.
There are many other dreams. There is a dream that I had once. A friend of mine with whom I went to undergraduate school, we moved on, went to graduate schools, and she was living in Thailand at the time, years later, and I had touch with her now or then, but not often. Once I had a dream in which she appeared in my dream, and actually we were talking on the phone. She was, you know, in my dream, but she was somewhere in long distance. Mm-hmm. And we were talking on the phone, and she said that she was in so much pain, stomach pain, that she felt like she was dying. And I asked her what it was, and she said it was a stomach ulcer. And the emotion was so strong that I felt so much sadness in her condition that I also began to weep. And I woke up weeping, though without any tears.
Wow.
And, you know, sometimes dreams, they say, leave us with strong emotions. So here is one of those dreams that left me with great sorrow and emotion at the suffering of a friend. So Art, the first thing I do when I get up is to study my dreams and see if it's literal or symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
So I would pray about it first, and then I would study it. When I studied the dream, I could not find any symbolic meaning in it. So I decided to call her in Thailand and talk to her and find out what's going on. Now, she does not believe in dreams. She had told me this, that dreams are just nonsense. That makes no sense.
Ah.
So I was a little hesitant to call, but I did call because of the my understanding that dreams have significance. So I called her and I asked if everything was okay, and she said everything was okay. Then I decided that though I might expose myself to ridicule, I would still share with her what dream I had, and I did. No sooner than I told her the dream and I said stomach ulcer, she started weeping. I asked her why she was crying, and she said, well, just the other day, I had severe stomach pain. I was rushed to the hospital, and the doctors diagnosed it as stomach ulcer. So now the question comes, why did that dream come to me?
Oh, yes.
Casey would give many reasons. The first reason would be to console, to be there as a friend, and to help and aid in whatever way we can. Casey said that dreams and the messages come to an individual who is capable of such at a given time. So at that time, the dream came to me because I was able to be a friend. And she said it meant so much to her that I called. And even without knowing, all the more so. And then I also happened to know what Casey mentioned about how to ease and cure your stomach ulcers. That is to take American saffron in tea form. So I mentioned that to her, and of course you cannot get that in Thailand. So I arranged that to be shipped to her, and she received it, she used it, and eventually she was cured. So not, so dreams come because dreams have, they have a function to fulfill, that I was in a position to know something in some way to help that soul. And that is why that dream came to me. And my job is to act on the dreams. You know, as Casey was big on application, that you can get all the message you want, but if you have not applied it, you have not gained from it, nor have you helped somebody else.
Do you think the dream comes from your subconscious telling you something your spirit knows, or is it, was it your friend who was somehow subconsciously sending you this, or what's the source of this vision?
The sources of vision are many, just as the sources for, if you asked Casey what was the source of his readings, he would say the Christ consciousness, but then if you break it down, he would say, I am able to pick up the information from the subconscious minds of other individuals, as deemed by the Christ consciousness. I can pick up the information from Akashic records, the records of every soul, written in space and time, about past life, karma, and all that kind of things. And he picks up information from the conscious minds of people he was giving readings for. In dreams, we have access to all these. So this particular dream was a subconscious to subconscious communication, which Casey said takes place in dreams, that your subconscious communicates with the subconscious of another individual, especially loved ones. Because we care and love, that opens the path to that. So friends and family would come in our dreams because we can help and aid each other.
I see.
So in this particular case, it's subconscious to subconscious. Now, profound dreams of spiritual nature that come to us from what Casey called the superconscious mind. And the conscious mind is asleep during this dream state. And so we then get the information from subconscious and superconscious. And the other way we get dreams is that dreams reflect on what we have done or not done about the ideal. Whether we know of our ideal or not, we are living certain ideals in our waking state. Those ideals, what we have done in our relationship, in our communication, in our intents, in our purposes, those are reflected into our subconscious mind, measured against the true ideal, God ideal, and then we are given feedback through dreams where we have fallen short, like Casey's flawed thinking on waking state. So there are so many different ways that dreams work and can come to us.
You have an upcoming book on dreams. Could you tell us about that?
I certainly can. The reason there are several books on dreams, especially from the Casey perspective, and they all fill a niche, no doubt. What my dream book is comes out with a new perspective, a different perspective, and that is, as I mentioned earlier, I found how interesting Joseph and Daniel was in the Old Testament. Then I compared and correlated what Casey's understanding of dreams was with Joseph and Daniel, and I was able to find a foundation for dream work that we can use to develop our own consciousness in working with dreams. And that is one aspect of this book that I finished writing. It's with the editors now, and hopefully it will be out by the end of this year. And the book also has information about the purposes of dreams that I have talked about. There's 14 purposes of dreams that I was able to glean from the Casey readings. It doesn't always explicitly say, but if you study the collection of dreams, you can bring these 14 purposes out. So I talk about those 14 purposes and then examples of those, mm-hmm. How they come in different ways and how we can advance ourselves. Almost every aspect of dreams and our consciousness are reflected in dreams. So in the book, what I have done is I have included dreams, my own dreams. There are 50 of my own dreams in the dream book, maybe a little over that, 50. Because Casey said that you have to apply anything in your own life and then share it with others. No dream books out there currently fulfill that function from the Casey perspective. So I have, and even in my dream workshops that I offer, I share a lot of my own dreams to show how personally I have benefited from dream work.
Oh, I think that's one of the most useful things. It's just like learning about the law. You learn by looking at cases. So you have to look at examples.
That is exactly right, Art. And that's what I have done is to show people. And that's how I learned by looking at all these examples from the Casey readings, to be exposed to that. Mm-hmm. And now what I've done is I've taken it, applied it in my own life, and shown here it is, every aspect of the dreamer is reflected in dreams, and here it is that from my life, from the ones that dreams came to chastise me, or in a good way to say you're wrong here, to very elevating dreams of spiritual consciousness and everything in between. But I've also included in the book many dreams from the Casey perspective, and also many contemporary dreams, because I've been working with many people over 20 years on dreams. So I have a good collection of dreams that from others that I've also used. But of interest in the book too is a specific type of dreams called dreams that come to show us the mysteries of life, such as the unseen forces, as Casey called it, angels, or our loved ones who have moved on to the other side, how they come in dreams to give us information and knowledge and understanding. About the spiritual realms, other dimensions of consciousness, about death itself, spiritual laws, about oneness, reincarnation. All these different things fall under the mysteries of life. And I have an entire section dedicated to dreams that come to show us that.
We'll be right back with more with Jerry Lazarus on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. We're back with Jerry Lazarus. While people are waiting for your book to come out, they can also read material you've written in the ARE's Venture Inward magazine.
Well, I write every other issue. I have a column on dreams called In Your Dreams, and it appears in every other issue. Actually, the next issue will have my next column, which is the April, May, June issue.
I see.
And then I also write articles. The last issue had an article about love, the law of love.
Oh, yes.
I had that article. So I write articles as well as my regular column on dreams. And the regular column on dreams would be very good for people to follow if they like to learn more about dreams or to deepen their dream work.
and people can access your previous articles through the members section of edgarcasey.org.
That is correct. They can go through their members. They can go and get it online and read it. All the Venture Inward magazines, I don't know, starting about 12 issues or so before. I don't know when they started it, but there are many issues there on the website, but they can go back and read it and come up to date.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Wow. And you also, not only are you presenting in Virginia Beach at the ARE in April, you have a workshop in Newark, New Jersey as well. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, yes, I can. The workshop that you're referring to, Art, is on April 17th, titled The New Heaven and a New Earth. And it is about preparing for the coming new age. We know that now there's much talk about 2012 and the turn of events that are coming. Some not such good message, and some are good messages out there. But Casey had specifically mentioned about this time, the new age, new consciousness. John Van Auken, he talks about this topic, and he specifically talks about what it is going to be like in this new age. My focus for this workshop is to actually how to spiritually prepare for this age. For this transition, there is no more a question about if there is going to be a dawning new age. There is. We are in the midst of it. But how to prepare for it is the question. Mm. We are at a threshold of an elevated spiritual consciousness.
Do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It is www.jerrylazarus.com. And Jerry Lazarus is one word, JerryLazarus. And I have on my website, I have many articles, published and unpublished, that people can look through if they like. And I have my upcoming events.
Thank you for talking to us today.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I really enjoyed sharing my journey with the Edgar Casey material.
Here's an update on the upcoming conferences in Virginia Beach. From April 2nd to 4th, it's Robert Moss's Dawn of Awakening, Tapping into the Power of Dreams, Coincidence, and Imagination. From April 19th to the 24th, it's Hypnotherapy Training and Certification with Alan Chips. Then, from April 30th to May 2nd, there's Bioenergy, a Therapeutic Healing Art Hands-On Training with Maya Tech and Margaret Workus. From May 1st to the 7th, there's the Wellness and Rejuvenation Intensive. You'll actually be hearing more about that on our show next week. From May 21st to the 23rd, it's Sonia Choquette's Six Sensory Living, Walking the Psychic Pathway. There you can learn from three top psychics. For more information on these and other upcoming conferences, go to edgarcasey.org. That's edgarcayce.org. Then click on Events, then click on Conferences. It's time for the Thought for the Day, and today's Thought for the Day will be read by Kimberly Rose, who has a CD out called Connecting to Your Higher Self. She will be speaking at the Body Mind Spirit Festival, April 10th through 11th in Delta, Ohio, talking about living heaven on earth and Edgar Casey's message of oneness. She will also be at the ARE Camp Family Week from July 25th to the 31st. Speaking on 2012, preparing for the shift into the new age. Well, hello.
Hello.
And what's the thought for the day today?
This is from reading 243:10. For being afraid is the first consciousness of sins entering in. For he that has made afraid has lost consciousness of self's own heritage with the sun. For we are heirs through him to that kingdom that is beyond all that would make afraid or that would cause a doubt in the heart of any. And I wanted to ask you, because this touches me so deeply, when I read kingdom, what is that? What do you feel about that?
I guess the kingdom of heaven. It's a place where there is no fear. And I guess
yeah.
we can start letting go of that fear here while we're on earth.
And that's the, Casey, he teaches us about our soul and our spirit and, bridging those two together. You see the different, when he taught us about consciousness and the different levels of the conscious mind, the subconscious and the universal consciousness. And he said the universal conscious, or the collective, being the mind of the spirit, and then the subconscious being the mind of the soul. To me, that ties into this reading in that he's telling us that the creator, and he's saying a God, the kingdom of God is within us at all times, and that when we are afraid, we separate ourselves from our spirit. And I love how you said that, because the kingdom is God's. And so isn't it amazing that we can actually live heaven on earth here? And it's a simple belief, like Casey is saying here, of fear that keeps us separate. It's in the thought. Thoughts are things.
Oh, yes. Thanks for doing the thought for the day today.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Jerry Lazarus for talking to us. You can check out his column in Venture Inward magazine, which is available to ARE members. You can access past issues at the edgarcasey.org website in the members only section. Don't forget that he will be presenting at the Easter Conference in Virginia Beach, Dawn of Awakening, Tapping into the Power of Dreams, Coincidence, and Imagination, from April 2nd to 4th. He'll also be presenting A New Heaven and a New Earth in Newark, New Jersey, on April 17th. Also, look for his upcoming book, Dreams, Listening to the Voice of God. You can find out more at his website, www.jerrylazarus.com. That's JERRYLAZARUS.com. Thanks also to Kimberly Rose for the thought for the day. And most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the wisdom of Edgar Casey.